All right. So this morning, if you have not already caught on, we are continuing in our series on the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This week, we are focusing on the fruit of kindness, which is now the fifth fruit of the Spirit that we have looked at so far. To sum up the main themes of the series, first, we have been reminded through the teachings on the fruit of the Spirit and how Paul emphasizes the fruit of the Spirit that these fruit will only be evident in our lives if the Holy Spirit is at work through us. Paul uses language throughout the letter to the Galatians. He says things like walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit to emphasize that this is a daily, ongoing journey with God, the Spirit of God at work in our lives. And while our effort is required, I would suggest that often we focus so much on our own actions to the extent that we forget that it's also the Spirit who's at work within us that brings about these fruit. Phil Kennison echoes a similar sentiment in his book. The contemporary church does need to understand clearly its mission to the world, but it also needs to remember that God is the one who brings growth and maturity. We are on a mission. We have a purpose. There are definitely actions that we should do, but it is ultimately God's Spirit at work within us that moves us toward maturity and allows us to cultivate these fruit in our lives. So we need to be open to the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to fill us and to work in us and through us. And as we yield to the Spirit's work in our lives, these fruit of the Spirit will be evident. It's why one of the takeaways every week, if you have noticed so far, is to actually ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Another theme from this series so far is that all of these fruits are foremost characteristics of God himself. God is faithful. God is good. God is loving. And as we study God's word and know God, and as we know Jesus Christ, who also bears these characteristics, we will have an understanding, a better understanding of how to emulate these characteristics in our own lives. Our faithfulness should be modeled after God's faithfulness. Our love should be modeled after the love of Jesus Christ. But we need to know God first. And then connected to this is another theme or main idea that we need to be mindful of throughout this whole study. It is what Jesus suggests in Matthew 7, that his followers will be identifiable as such based on their fruit. As Phil Kennison writes, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus never suggested that we should evaluate the health of his people by how much power they wield or how much privilege they have amassed. Instead, it's all about the fruit. The way we live our lives should reflect Jesus Christ and God's character. If we say that we are followers of Christ, but our character, our actions, our lives look nothing like Jesus, there's a problem. And that is truly hypocrisy and definitely unhelpful in our ongoing mission of partnering with God to bring about love and redemption in this world. We will be known by our fruit, and more importantly, Christ will be known by the fruit in our lives. So with these themes in mind, let's talk about this week's fruit of the Spirit, kindness. As I was studying kindness this week, in preparation for today's message, I took a look at how kindness is talked about in pop culture. So I did a very classic research technique, and I Googled kindness. So kindness comes up quite a lot in websites and lists that talk about traits that are important in relationships or qualities that one is looking for in a partner. So for example, in one article I read, the 14 most important characteristics of a healthy relationship, I mean, this is classic good research here. It talked about, truly though, prioritizing kindness as one of the important characteristics of a healthy relationship, and describes kindness as this, and I like the description. Do all the things for your partner that you would want to do for your best friend. Try to anticipate their needs. Think about what they need help with and try to be there for them. Thoughtfulness, consideration, and kindness is the recipe for a healthy relationship. Sounds pretty good. Doctors John and Julie Gottman, so these are world-renowned psychologists and founders of the Gottman Institute. This is an institute that offers research-based approach to relationships. They've studied relationships for decades, and kindness comes up a lot in their research. So Julie Gottman is quoting, saying this, "If your partner expresses a need, and you are tired, stressed, or distracted, then the generous spirit comes in when the partner makes a bid." So that's kind of like a cry for attention in some way. It's like, oh, I read an article. And if your partner's like, mm-hmm, and doesn't pay attention to you, it kind of crushes you a little bit. But if you make a bid, some kind of call for attention, and then the partner still turns to you and still interacts with that bid for attention, that is how you show that you are kind to your partner, even if you're not in the mood, even if you don't want to. She's saying that even if you're tired and stressed, but you still choose to turn toward your partner, that is true kindness, thinking of the other person's needs ahead of your own. Further unpacking this, they encourage partners to assume the best in each other, even when they annoy or disappoint you, and to talk through issues with compassion. And not only is this just good advice, it sounds really good, the idea to be kind, but it is supported by data-informed research. As consistently they have found through the decades that they've studied relationships, that the ones that prioritized kindness above most other qualities were consistently happier and longer lasting. One article covering the Gottman's research was simply titled, "The Secret to Love is Kindness." So whenever I'm talking to youth or to young adults or really anybody who is talking about what they're looking for in a partner, I always encourage to value kindness. As someone who made the wise decision and I married the nicest guy I knew, I can tell you that kindness goes a long way. And it is an all too undervalued characteristic. In recent years, there are some TV shows and movies that have popped up that have emphasized kindness. So I personally like, for example, Ted Lasso or the show The Good Place. I appreciate Ted Lasso's emphasis on shifting a culture toward kindness. And I appreciate The Good Place's emphasis on how a person's goodness is known through outward acts of selflessness and kindness. And parental warnings on either of those shows, but they're really good. A few years ago, two movies that did really well in the box office, one a documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor, and another a movie centered around the subject of the documentary called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks. Both movies were about who? Fred Rogers, who is a children's entertainer and TV host, and one article described him as a nice man who had a mission of kindness. Interestingly enough, the country of Canada comes up if you Google kindness, because we have a reputation for being nice. Nice and kind are often these synonymous words, though there seems to be more expected of kindness than just simply being nice. And of course, we often think of random acts of kindness, little things that people might do to complete strangers, like pay for the person's coffee in the line behind you, or help someone load their heavy purchases in their vehicle, or anonymously paying for someone's utilities when they can't afford it, if you are aware of that. These are just examples of random acts of kindness, and there's so many social media campaigns and an emphasis on that idea. Yet what is kindness? How is it different than other fruit of the Spirit, and how might we cultivate kindness in our own lives? So the word that Paul uses in the list of the fruit of the Spirit is translated as kindness, is Christos, from the word Christos. The word Christos is found in the New Testament only 10 times and consistently in context of describing good moral character and actions. It holds the meaning of being useful, serviceable, pleasant, kind. A version of the word is also a common use for slaves, meaning someone who offers service, again emphasizing these outward actions, some actions of deference, of helping someone. Interestingly, the NIV translates the Greek word in the list of the fruit of the Spirit as kindness, but the King James Version translates that same word as goodness, which is really confusing because we already have goodness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, so they have a different translation for that word. But it kind of shows you how connected these fruit of the Spirit are. Kindness and goodness, you could almost use those interchangeably. And that is why it's so difficult to preach on two sermons back to back about different but the same topic, basically. So, to more fully understand kindness in Scripture, we need to also look at the Old Testament and how the Old Testament unpacks kindness. The Hebrew word that is most closely associated to our understanding of kindness, and kindness specifically related to God, is this word chesed. And you do have to give it a little like mustard on it, like chesed, okay? I'm not going to do that every time because that's going to get old. But chesed is a huge word in the Old Testament with almost 250 occurrences. And the word is often translated as love, steadfast love, but it is also translated as loving kindness, mercy, goodness, and devotion. It's more than random acts of kindness or just being nice to somebody. But the word chesed is consistently used to describe God's character, and it is associated with God's name. I keep bringing up this interaction between God and Moses in Exodus 34, when this is just after God has rescued his people from Egypt. And last week, we talked about how God presented his name, Yahweh, with his own description of himself. And there's a deep connection between God's goodness and God's name. So first of all, this interaction and description is so very important because it is God's description of himself. And when someone tells you who they are, especially when God tells you, this is who I am, we should pay attention. And we talked about how that interaction, last week we talked about it, how that interaction between God and Moses and when God presented his name forever linked God's name with goodness. And thus, Yahweh is good. God is good. Goodness is Yahweh. And how we discussed Yahweh is, do you remember the word that is used for goodness? Tov. Okay, well, you can listen to that sermon again if you really want to. And everything tov, that is the word for goodness in Hebrew, tov. Everything tov is of God. Well, that description that God gives of himself is this. The Lord, so that's him saying Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. The word for love is actually this Hebrew word, chesed. It's kind of like love plus. It's the outward expression of love, which is essentially what kindness is. We keep talking about how these fruit of the Spirit are all very connected. And truly, I would suggest to you that the fruit of the Spirit are, in general, different expressions of love. We're going to look specifically at love in a few weeks with Pastor Jocelyn, so I don't want to step too much on that sermon, but it bears repeating. As Phil Kennison writes, love, as embodied in Jesus Christ and poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, most fully reflects the very character of God. Love ought, therefore, to be the primary disposition of the Christian life. Meaning, it's not an accident that love is the very first fruit of the Spirit in this list. And then all of the subsequent characteristics and all the subsequent fruit are really just unpacking love over and over again, just from different angles. And kindness definitely points to this truth. And true kindness is basically the outward expression of love. It's to be kind and generous, to be considerate of others and helpful. Kindness in particular requires outward action to be known and is basically the manifestation of love's other directedness. We've talked about how you can't really see or know someone has these fruits unless they are made known through relationships, through community. You wouldn't say someone is loving when they're sitting remotely by themselves in a corner, not interacting with anybody. Love needs to be shown, needs to be demonstrated, and specifically others' directedness. And kindness in particular demands, in its very word, it demands action. Acts of kindness. You only see kindness when it is demonstrated. And also, unlike some of the fruit of the Spirit we have talked about, where they are known specifically by actions one does not do, so for example, when I do not cheat on my spouse, I'm being faithful to them, or when I do not do bad things, I might be considered good. which we've unpacked to show that that's not just it. There needs to be more to those words as well. But kindness in particular is forward action, known through actions, not specifically by what one does not do, but specifically by what one does do. So Phil Kinnison describes this very idea. We regard people as kind because they go out of their way, often quietly and without fanfare, to engage in kind actions. Nitty-gritty, concrete, everyday kind of actions. As Beth Moore says, you can fake nice, but you cannot fake kindness. And I'm sure you can hear her accent. I'm not going to do it, but I do a very good impression. It's because my family's from the South. That's the only reason. Okay. Kindness is an outwardly shown, not easily faked characteristics that is only known through other-directed action. And again, this kindness is first found in God. As God describes himself, he is abounding in love. He is abounding in chesed, in kindness. And we know that because of the ways that God shows his chesed. So one author wrote, God's chesed denotes persistent and unconditional tenderness, kindness, and mercy, a relationship in which he seeks after people with love and mercy. And that is essentially what the story of Scripture is speaking to, God's pursuit of us, because he loves us. It is an act of loving kindness that God makes a covenant with his people and with Moses. It was an act of loving kindness that God rescued them out of Egypt. And it is out of his loving kindness that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a life of kindness on earth and then demonstrate the greatest loving kindness through the cross. As Paul writes in Ephesians 2, God has shown us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Messiah, and that is the greatest loving kindness. Interestingly enough, the Greek word for Christ, Christos, is so similar to the Greek word for kindness that we find in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, Christos, that those words are pronounced basically the same. They are indistinguishable from to the ear. It's kind of like there, and there. Did you catch the difference? No, because they're indistinguishable. And as I mentioned earlier, this word is often used to reference slaves, which means that the word for Messiah and the word for slave would sound the same. Faye Reynolds, who is a CBWC pastor and my mentor right now, she wrote in her devotional on kindness that she loved the idea that when Peter declared to Jesus, "You are the Christ," Jesus would have heard both, "You are the Messiah," and "You are the slave," and would have willingly embraced both of these definitions. That is to the degree that Jesus demonstrates the humble side of loving kindness. It is shown through that immense deference toward other people, to another person. If we are to be Christ followers, we must be willing to show that same degree of loving kindness, that same degree of humility and love. In Micah 6:8, we read one of the clearer verses as to what the Lord requires of those who follow him. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is a favorite verse of many for its emphasis on love and justice. And again, we see this walking motif that we see throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament to describe our ongoing relationship with God. That is a journey. It is a relationship that has some ups and downs, and it changes paths and shapes, but it is hopefully in motion. And the verse starts with the word that we covered last week, tov. He has shown you what is good, what is tov. And this is what God is asking us to do, to demonstrate tov, to demonstrate goodness. And he asks three things. The first one is to act justly, and the last is to walk humbly with God, and the middle is to love mercy, to love chesed. And here we have that word for kindness. Mercy and compassion are fuller expressions of what kindness is. loving kindness. Another example in a very similar vein is in Zechariah 7, where we read this. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. True justice is to show mercy, chesed, to show kindness to others. And he goes on to list three groups of people, widows and orphans, the foreigner, and the poor. And you'll see throughout scripture these three groups linked together quite often. I guess it's really four: widows, orphans, foreigner, and poor. And these groups were linked together as such because these were the most vulnerable, the most susceptible to violence and socioeconomic oppression, which means that they were very close to God's heart because God cares deeply about the oppressed and vulnerable. And he consistently calls his followers to care for and be champions of the oppressed. Through the picture that is consistently put forward for us in scripture is that kindness is intrinsically linked to justice. We are called to care for the oppressed because God cares for the oppressed. That is truly being others directed in our kindness and love. The people of God should be known as justice makers, people who are on the side of the oppressed, because that is who God is. And more than random acts of kindness or simply being nice, true justice requires action. And that is when God's chesed would be known throughout the world. We worship God because he has such loving kindness, it knows no bounds. He deeply cares for the marginalized and vulnerable and showed the depths of his loving kindness through his son, Jesus Christ, who came because God loved the whole world. And Jesus, through his ministry, he cared for marginalized, vulnerable, and oppressed people. And he calls us to do likewise. The kindness that we extend can be day-to-day. Those are nice, pleasant, humble, deferent actions to others. But as well, we need to be intentional and justice-oriented loving kindness as well. That is the extent of God's loving kindness. All of that is true love. So how do we cultivate that kind of kindness in our lives to intentionally reflect God's character and to point people to the loving and kind humility of Jesus Christ? So first of all, again, not surprisingly, I'm going to suggest that we need to say again, Holy Spirit, come. And try to have a posture of openness to the Holy Spirit. I will say it with open hands. Holy Spirit, come. Because it helps frame that posture for me. Come and move in our hearts and minds. Move in our lives and relationships. Move in our community to bring about authentic kindness. Holy Spirit, help us to actively demonstrate love through kindness. Holy Spirit, keep us humble so we may more accurately reflect the kindness of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come. Another way I would suggest that we can cultivate kindness in our lives is to truly know Jesus Christ, to truly study Jesus Christ, to know how he lived, what he taught. And this will in turn make it a lot easier to do likewise. To say that we are Christ followers must mean that we are following Christ, actually knowing who he is, what he taught, what he demonstrated in his life. And if you're new to the faith or wondering where to even start, I would suggest with reading the Gospel of John. It's in a very readable translation. Try like New Living Translation or read the Message. Just start to get to know who Jesus is, what he is like. This week, my daughter, Margot, she is 7, and her and I were talking about following Jesus because we have been reading the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is excellent, and she was asking some questions at the end when it got to the Revelation part, which was interesting. And I said to her, you know, Margot, one day you might choose to follow Jesus. And she said, oh, I already follow Jesus. And I said, okay, what does that mean to you? How do you follow Jesus? And she's like, well, I go to church, and I'm really nice to people because Jesus is nice and kind. And honestly, for a child's version of what it means to follow Christ, I'll take it. Because her version of following Christ emphasizes going to church, where she comes and she experiences community and she worships and she rolls around on the floor, and I trust that she's hearing the songs. And then it also emphasizes an outward expression to be kind to people. So this is a very basic, but I would say a fairly accurate, without being scared of hell and without any of those things that I thought so much when I was her age. But this is a lovingly outward demonstration of following Jesus. The last suggestion I would like to make as a way to cultivate the fruit of kindness in our lives is to consider ways that we can be intentionally justice-oriented when it comes to extending kindness. As we've already discussed this morning, justice and kindness, they go hand in hand. And it goes hand in hand throughout Scripture. Truly intentionally caring for oppressed and marginalized people is an important way we can point people to God's loving kindness. This can be everyday ways that we treat marginalized groups in our communities by extending them dignity and kindness, acknowledging people. This can also be ways that we treat marginalized groups in our community in a more official sense. So, for example, perhaps we need to consider ways we can intentionally love First Nations people in our communities by listening to their stories and perspective and intentionally seeking reconciliation. Listening is such a key part of kindness, because as we listen to people's stories and perspectives, we are more likely to experience empathy, and we're more likely to be moved in compassion toward another person. Phil Kennison mentions this in his book as well, where he says, carefully listening to another is itself an act of kindness, and it may sometimes lead to further action on another's behalf. And he writes at length about how God often speaks through others. And unless we are truly listening to people, especially marginalized and vulnerable people, we will not be acting as kind as we could. And we might be missing a message from God, as Scripture is full of times when God spoke through and used for his purposes those who are vulnerable and marginalized and oppressed. Intentionally being more justice-oriented in our community and our relationships is to reflect God's very heart of mercy, equity, and loving kindness. That is truly chesed. I think at the end of the day, I actually have one more. At the end of the day, I think one of the ways that we can cultivate kindness in our lives is to, and I don't mean to quote Nike, but it's really just do it, to choose to be kind, to choose to care for another person, even if we do not feel like it, to choose to put another person's action, what they want, their needs, ahead of our own. And as we practice it, it will only get easier to become, and that will only become more and more heartfelt. Paul says in Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another. And he describes kindness like this in Colossians 3. Clothe yourself with kindness. We can choose to put it on and choose to act kind, kind of like we choose to put on our very clothes in the morning. We choose to do it. I realize that there's a fine line between doing it and then potentially seeming hypocritical if our hearts are not truly into it. But I would also suggest that these actions are habit forming, and choosing kindness is as much of a habit as anything else. And as we do it, it will only become easier and easier, and forms us to be more kind and loving people as the Spirit works within us. So truly, the last thing I would suggest is just do it. Choose kindness. And God's Spirit, who is at work within us, will only cultivate to be more heartfelt and fruitful. So can we commit as a body of Christ to follow Christ's example in loving kindness and choose to be kind? Choose to listen, especially listen to vulnerable and marginalized, oppressed people. And choose to act kind even when we don't feel like it. Will you stand with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your chesed, for your loving kindness, your compassion, and your mercy. The way that we can read through Scripture time and time again, that you sought after people, that you pursued people. God, we thank you for your loving kindness expressed through Jesus Christ, that you sent your Son to this world to show kindness, to show love. Help us to do likewise. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, and that through the cross, we have full relationship with you, God. We can experience your forgiveness and grace and mercy. With all of that, how could we not but extend that kindness to the world around us? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill each individual heart and life. Fill this community, this body of Olivet, that we may be known by kindness. God, we pray that as we move and work and live in this world, will you help us to see people as you see them? Help us to listen well, that we may hear your voice, the way that you are at work through other people's lives. And will you lead us to compassionate, just action? God, we need you. We need your Spirit. We need you to be at work within us. And will you help us to have the self-control to choose kindness time and time again? We love you, God our Father, Jesus Christ, our very kind Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is cultivating all these fruit in our lives. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.